Science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful what you wish for.
Hello, everyone, and yes, as they say, let's get started. Tonight we have a special guest. Jason Hewlett is in the house. Jason is a journalist, a broadcaster, and podcaster with a degree in filmmaking and film studies. He has had a lifelong interest in the paranormal, which has led him to join the Vancouver Paranormal Society in 2017. At this time, he was a lead investigator and society director up until 2020. At this time, he and colleague Peter Wren launched the Canadian Paranormal Foundation. Jason is the writer, director, and co-creator of the award-winning paranormal reality series We Want to Believe, as well as a narrator for the show called The UFO Show. And he is also a co-host of Hunting the Haunted, all of which are on the Paranormal Network. In 2020, Jason and Peter Wren co-authored the best-selling book, I Want to Believe, One Man's Journey into the Paranormal, which highlights Peter Wren's career as a paranormal investigator. And in 2021, they did a follow-up book together, I Want to Believe, an investigator's archive. And finally, just out in June of 2022, a third book, Dying Light, an investigation into near-death experiences. Well, I would say we have a lot of reading to do, don't we? So, without further ado, help me welcome my guest, Jason Hewlett.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Well, hello, Jason, and thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks so much for having me here, Kelly. I'm excited.
Oh, no problem. I'm excited to have you. So I think after that very interesting introduction that I've given of you, I think we better go back in time just a little bit. And I know most of my listeners and my viewers always wonder, where did it all begin for you? So I want you to go back to the earliest you can remember and kind of bring us, then we'll go forward from that point on.
Sure. Yeah. Like I'm trying to think back. It's been a long time already. It feels like.
I know.
I was probably around like five or six.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the vehicle with my mom. Okay. And we were going to pick up a friend of mine. He was going to sleep over.
Okay.
And so we drove to his house and I remained in the vehicle and my mom went to pick up my friend and talk to their mom. You know how you always do that kind of stuff. And I'm just waiting. And it was an old Gremlin. I don't know if you remember those cars.
Oh, they were, of course.
They're horrible vehicles.
Yeah, I know. Horrible.
So it was even worse. I didn't like seeing it.
And we loved them back then, but that was then. Yeah.
That was then. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was sort of in the back seat looking out the hatchback, and I could clearly remember, like, the street was like, there's no one on it. It's a suburban street. It's like, you know, mid-afternoon kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching, and then suddenly this face appeared in the hatchback window.
Okay.
It popped into view in front of me, and it was horrible. Like, I describe it now as mongoloid.
Okay.
Kind of face. It was there. It freaked me out, and it vanished.
Was this in the back seat or the front seat?
So I'm in the back seat looking out, you know, there's a sort of the cargo area and then the window.
Yeah.
And it was on the other side of the window. So the street side of the window.
Yeah.
And so it freaked me out. And I kind of remember dropping down so I couldn't look at it after it disappeared, afraid it would kind of come back.
Yeah.
And I heard footsteps and I looked out and it was my friend had come, but this was out the back. And so he came from the passenger side.
Yeah.
And I'm like, were you just playing around at the back of the vehicle? He's like, no, I just got here.
Okay.
And I'm like, did you see anybody? And he's like, no, we're the only ones around. And then by that point, my mom had come up and she was a teacher and, you know, very practical. And I'm like, mom, did you see anybody? And she's like, no, there was no one on the street. Didn't see anyone. And I kind of explained it. And she did the whole, well, you must have imagined it.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Of course. Right. But I saw it because I can remember it. Like, I'm a man of 50. So that's like going back 45, 44 years. I still remember that face. And I remember that experience profoundly. And that was kind of the beginning of kind of an interest in, well, what was that? What could I have seen? And by that, after that, I kind of developed a fascination with ghosts and I'd pick up, you know, books by Lloyd Orbach, you know, Watch in Search of course, was, you know, I was born in 72. So it was still in first run kind of thing. And it just never left. It never left after that. And I would just have, as I got older, moments of just where things would happen that I couldn't explain, or sensations of being watched when there was no one around and that kind of thing. And so it perpetuated. So very young and never really left.
Well, I question on this. I want to pick it apart a little bit here.
Sure.
Okay. So what time of day did you, what time of day was it when you saw this, this thing, I guess?
Mid to late afternoon. So probably like, you know, 3-4 o'clock.
Okay.
Summer. It was summertime. So daylight.
Town area or country area?
Town area, suburban neighborhood. Like in the city where I live, Kamloops. So it'd be like a residential street.
When you saw the thing pop up in the window, did it look solid or translucent?
That's the thing. It looked solid from my memory. That's why I was so startled, because like, it looked like it was someone really like right there. So there's that shock. And then you realize it just looked like misshapen and, you know, everything was out of place, etc. So like when you think of, like, you know, when the Friday 13th movies, what Jason Voorhees' face would look like as a kid, like not quite like that, but it was something like, you know, the eyes were all out of place and the mouth was all malformed.
Oh my God.
Hair kind of coming down. Like it was just messed up.
Oh my God. I mean, and that was like in broad daylight. Okay. So yeah, that would creep me out a little bit too. All right. So now, of course, everybody wants to know if you're on anything, but the thing is, it,
at 5, 6, so, maybe just.
Sugar, yeah, right? I know. Like, were you on sugar by chance, Jason? Yeah,
probably.
I
was it was summer, right? Kool-Aid was a big drink for me.
You know, that's kind of interesting, though, that you would have such an experience at that age, especially with something that was so horrible looking. Okay, let's move this, though, out of that moment, because now this strikes your curiosity and fright a little bit. And you, but instead of running from it, it sounds like you ran toward this idea a little bit more rather than, you know, hiding under the covers every night in bed. So what would you say would be your next age that you had what you thought was another experience, right? But something that just you couldn't deny anymore.
Be about 13, 14.
Okay.
And so where I live in the interior of British Columbia, like we're like, you know, Wilderness Central, lots of lakes. And my family, like my parents had a cabin on a lake, which was about, at that point, an hour drive.
Yeah.
Away. And I spent like most of the summers out there, and well into the fall, we would go every weekend, and I'd bring a friend usually, cause I'd be out there for a period of time.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine, Mike Stewart, who I met like in grade 7, and he too has always had an interest in the paranormal.
Okay.
So he'd come out with me quite frequently. And I remember this one trip, it had been in the fall, and being a children of when we were born, we were free range kids. My parents were like, as long as we were back for lunch, dinner, bedtime, we could roam as much as we would. Mm-hmm. So we'd play in the woods a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And where we are is Sasquatch territory.
Yes, of course.
So we would be up there, and there was always something in your mind, but your kids, and at the point, would be like, wouldn't that be really cool? You know what I mean? Like, but we never really thought much of it. Mm-hmm. And the route from the cabin into the woods, we'd always take the same route because it was just easy. You'd kind of go up this, our driveway onto this dirt road and up a logging road, and you'd go up into the trees.
Yeah.
And so we'd come down for dinner, and we took that route down. We came and ate dinner, and we cleaned up as we always did. And then we figured we'd go out for one more sort of hike. And so an hour had passed from the last time that we were out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So there's these trees that we would pass every time, and they were pine trees. So the ground would always be littered with pine needles,
right,
as it was when we went down for dinner.
Right.
Coming back up after dinner, mm-hmm, underneath these trees, all the pine needles are gone. There's a fire pit built, but not a big fire pit, like almost like a doll size fire pit with rocks.
Yeah.
There's a lean-to that's been built out of sticks and turf.
Yeah.
And moss, etc. And inside the lean-to is a bone.
A bone.
A bone. I don't know what it was, picked clean, a bone.
Hmm.
And we're like, we pause and we're looking at this thing, and like, it's just like, but he's seeing it too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of like, what is this? And because this wasn't here before, this was not here an hour ago. And I mean, this would have taken time.
Right.
To do. And it was good. It was well done too. It wasn't like a haphazard slap together job.
Yeah.
And the sun's starting to go down, and we're getting a little like, we're just, things don't feel right.
Right.
So we're like, let's just go. Like, let's just go back to the cabin right now, because this is just a little weird.
Yeah.
Went back to the cabin, and that was the talk of the evening. Like, what was that? What was going on? What could have created that? Was it a bunch of kids, etc.? I don't know. First thing in the next morning, we get dressed, even before breakfast, we go running back up there to take a look.
Of course.
That's all gone. The ground is completely covered with pine needles again. Like, I mean, like that had never been there.
Like, something seems a little, from a time element. I'm just sitting here thinking about this and trying to figure out how quickly that was made and then how quickly it was removed. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, like, it's the woods, so there's other people out there hanging around. If an adult had made that,
mm-hmm,
why was it all so small?
Right.
Because the lean-to wasn't person size. Like, we couldn't fit in there as, like, teenage boys, early teenage boys.
Right.
If it was made for a toy, like, there's no sign of a toy or anything like that. And then it was one of those things that was built within an hour, like, very quickly, but very well done.
Right.
And then why would it be done at dusk? And then we'd go back there the next day, and why would it all be gone? And why would there be pine needles covering it back up? Like, I mean, completely. Like, it didn't even look like it had been messed with.
I know. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Hmm. Yeah. It just made no, it's one of those things, like, again, we talk about it. We still talk about it.
Yeah. Like,
remember that time out at the lake when we saw that, right? And I mean, as I've been gotten older and reading more about, like, Sasquatch culture, and
mm-hmm,
I have friends that are Aboriginal. And I told a friend of mine, Chris Bose, who's an Aboriginal artist, and you know, his tribe very much believes in Sasquatch and that it's a forest spirit. I told that to him, and he's like, dude, that's the little people. I'm like, what do you mean the little people? He's like,
yeah,
all these things, Sasquatch and all that, they, in his belief system, they come from another dimension.
Yeah.
And they come in the daytime, and the little people are the guys that run around and scout things out and look for things.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, and they always go back for nighttime, but if one of them can't make it back, they'll set up a camp.
Mm-hmm.
Like with that. And then, you know, next morning they take off.
Interesting.
And cover their tracks. And I mean, like, that's a pretty woo, you know, answer to it. But at the same time, I know what we saw. It was not there, say, at, like, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock. It was there at 7. And by the next morning it was gone. Like, nothing had been there before.
Any tracks or any other type of, anything that might have been left, nothing.
And even looking around where it was made, I mean, thinking back, we did not recall seeing boot prints.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
or
shoe prints or even barefoot prints or anything like that. And by barefoot, I mean, like, people, human bare feet.
Yeah.
There was nothing, cause that would make perfect sense. Like, that'd be okay. People came and they cleared it out and they're hanging around or something like that.
So I have a question for you now. So this happened when you're, how far away are you from that area where you live now? Because you're in the British Columbia, Vancouver area?
I'm in Kamloops, British Columbia still. So I'm in the same community that I was then. And now it doesn't take as long to get there only because, you know, the highway improvements.
Yeah.
There, they've improved the roads and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about going back at some point or having a researcher go back at some point to study that area a little bit?
Well, we maintained that property until 2019. So I've been up and through there hundreds of thousands of times. I've taken my son on hikes through there. I've never seen anything like that ever again.
Okay.
Ever again. It was like that one off weird thing. But we've had other experiences out there that are, that, you know, are unexplainable.
Tell me
so
one.
So that makes sense, right? Like, but I mean, but nothing quite like that again, right?
Yeah. No, share another one because I'm just letting things roll in my mind.
Yeah. Right now. Oh, there's one time also with my friend Mike. We were out at the cabin. And it was something that my dad, he was a contractor, building contractor, had built just from his leftover stuff, right? So it was just it was a cabin. But we'd sometimes crash out in the front living room. And one night I can remember, like, he, you know, we're not even asleep. We're just trying to hang it out and bullshitting kind of thing. Pardon my French. And these lights start moving back and forth across the deck. And you could see across the lake, you know, the highway, and you could see vehicles. But this was clearly on the deck. It was like a ball of light moving from one side back to the other. It wasn't a flashlight because you'd hear someone walking on the deck, like a wooden deck. So you'd hear footsteps. And it's just this light that would kind of go back and forth a few times.
What color?
And then like wink out, you know.
What color?
It would have been like a white light.
Okay. All right. And that was on like your porch or right
there? The back, the lakeside porch.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So it'd be the lakeside porch.
Yeah.
Which you can access only from the front. Which you'd go on a wooden porch. So it was almost like those wraparounds. Or you'd have to be the other side and come up a big flight of stairs. Like it's, you know, it was a good, I'm 6 feet tall. And if I stood on my, and reached up, it would, so it'd be like about, you know, 7.5, 8 feet off the ground.
Okay. And when you saw this, what was the first thing that you did? Just watch it or did you go
just watch it? Like it's one of those things, it's just like real, and then it just left. And you know, we'd look outside, like there's no one around. You didn't hear anyone run off. You know, and it wasn't moving like a flashlight.
Right.
It was bigger than a flashlight.
Right. What would you say? Yeah. What that's a good question or a question here. What size was it? Would you know what a small clock looks like? Is it a small clock that you would have for an alarm clock size, or was it something a little bit bigger than that?
It'd be like, I don't know if you can see like with my hand. So I'm holding like bigger than a softball.
Yes.
Yeah. But not like a basketball. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it was just that kind of a size.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just a weird size. No sound.
No sound.
Just moving back and forth a few times. I can't remember how many times it did that, but then it just kind of just winked out.
Interesting. And have you seen anything like that since?
I haven't. Another friend of mine who stayed out there did. Like saw a light and it was on the other side of the cabin. Right. So there's two times with lights. I know once in 1996, I was out there by myself. I'd replaced the deck. I was going to stay the night and just kind of relax. And I remember suddenly being filled with the most intense feeling of dread. Like the hairs went up on the back. It was like, and it was instant. It was like instantaneous. And it's like, I need to leave. Like, I need to leave right now.
Yeah.
So I just packed everything up, loaded it into the car, which was terrifying because the sun's going down.
Yeah.
At that point, you had to run around the cabin underneath it to switch off the pump.
Yeah.
And that was like the worst.
Yeah.
2-3 minutes, and then run back almost in the dark and drive. And that feeling lasted a half hour even after I had left. And I remember going home, staying with my mom at the time, and she's like, what are you doing back? And I'm like, I just had to come back. That's just how I summed it up. I didn't even know how to explain it. Flash forward a good 22, 23 years. We'd completely renovated the cabin at that point. It was more like a house on a lake. And again, I was out there. I sometimes do little mini vacations by myself on a weekend. And I was out there again and I was planning to stay for like a third night on my own, just getting ready to kind of watch a movie or something. The same feeling came back, like exactly the same feeling. And it's like, I gotta go same time of night. Like it's like the sun setting, packed everything up. I'm just like, I'm not messing with it. I don't care. Like I'd seen enough weird things out there. It's like, if I'm getting that feeling, sure, I'll go back. Drove into town. You know, my wife's like, what are you doing back? And I'm like, I just had to come back. Like it was just time to go.
Question for you. Was it in the same spot that you felt it before?
The building by then had changed, right?
Right.
So the first time I was kind of more in what would have been the living room section of it. It was like a big open concept, but I've been more in the living room section.
Yeah.
This time I was more in the kitchen, but it would have been on that same side of the building, right? But the structures had changed so dramatically. So yeah, I'd say within 10 feet of what would have probably been that spot.
And you felt it inside the structure.
Inside, but it was like that, you know, when you just, if you're in the woods enough, you kind of know when something's up or you're being watched mm-hmm. or something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like that immediate, like, this is bad and I need to go. And I'd been there. I've had bears wander by the cabin, didn't faze mm-hmm. me. I've stayed out there by myself hundreds of times, don't mm-hmm. care. Even when it was just a cabin and it would have been nothing for something to kind of smash through.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like, nope, I'm not playing with that. I'm going. Like, I am going to go right now.
So I have a question for you. So I'm honing in on your sensitivities a little bit here. Has anyone else been with you there that may have felt that same feeling, the same type of feeling, without you even saying anything to them, have ever brought up, I don't feel quite right here? Anybody else?
There's been people who have stayed out there, like when I haven't been there,
right? Mm-hmm.
Who have then asked, well, have you ever had anything happen? And what used to be my old bedroom out there.
Yeah.
A friend of mine's younger sister stayed in it and reported the bed shaking.
So
there should be no way that the bed can shake. There's no trains. There's no big trucks that go through there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Bed shaking.
There had just been that. I know my son, he stayed out there and he would just not like sometimes being in his room by himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's creep factor.
It's a creep factor, right? But it's also, you look at it two ways, like it's the woods. And by then he was quite young, so it makes sense. But someone else reporting a bed shaking,
yeah,
that's pretty profound.
Any water around? Okay, so outside of your, what used to be cabin, now more of a home structure out in was it a wooded area with any kind of a lake at all?
There's lake on the one side, the side where we saw the light.
Yes.
That first time was the lake side.
Yes.
The other side is all wood.
Yes.
All forest, right?
Yeah.
With the road that you come in on.
Yes.
And it still is very much, we sold it in 2019.
Okay.
And it's still, we were out there earlier this year just to look, like we stayed at a lodge and took a look, and it's still very much the same. So there's water one side, forest other. So we would commonly see wildlife come down from, including bears, from the woods down to the water.
Yes. Let's talk a little bit about that water for a moment. Have you ever seen anything come out of that water?
I never have. No. I've heard of other people say they saw lights in the water, right? Like, which would make sense.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There'd be not. It's not like there's much bioluminescence out there. It's a lake, and it's a kind of a crappy lake. You know what I mean? Like, it's good for like swimming,
and
boating, but it's not like it's like really pristine, crystal clear water.
Mm-hmm.
We've never had lake monster sightings. It's Little Shuswap Lake. Like, the big lake is supposed to have something, but I mean, that's something I learned about long after I became an adult.
Yeah,
Lake Okanagan's a good 2 hours from us. You know where Ogopogo's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Now, so, I'm thinking about the association between Bigfoot and these light anomaly sightings mm-hmm. that seem to occur. I've heard of this numerous times, especially from Bigfoot, not necessarily researchers or searchers. They would have, there'd be an association between those lights and any sightings and or disappearances all of a sudden of Bigfoot mm-hmm. in the area. Have you heard of anything like that in that area?
I had not heard of anything like that in the area, but once, like much later in life, as I became aware of more of the Bigfoot phenomenon and associating it with lights and UFOs and it being more of a supernatural thing, sure. And that's kind of when I look back at these experiences, I'm like, well, that all makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? The lights, the bioluminescence in the water, the creeped out sensation.
Yeah.
I've read and I talk with like Bigfoot researchers, you know, and we've even as a team have gone out looking for Bigfoot ourselves.
Yeah.
That it can, the little psychic nudgings it can do where it can like with either euphoria or it can tell you need to go.
Yeah.
And looking back, even though I try to be maybe skeptical and rational, it's like that to me is what it felt like. Cause I'm 6'1".
Yeah.
I'm trained in martial arts. You know, I've fired guns. I'm not scared of much. Those two times were so profoundly terrifying that I had to go.
Yeah. I'm thinking of this when you mentioned that. I'm just thinking of a story here that was told to me that of a gentleman who was out and he had like a cabin, like home out in the woods. And there was a Bigfoot that was coming out of the woods and was actually approaching his house and getting closer and closer during specific days. And there was one day where it looked like the thing wasn't going to stop. So it, what it did is it came up, and as it got closer and closer to the entrance of the door of the house, he got his shotgun out and whipped open that door, cocked it back, and bam. And what do you think happened to Bigfoot?
Gone?
It disappeared.
Yeah. Poof. It just disappears on him. Yeah.
There was no body there. There was no nothing. It went poof. So, you know, it's really interesting because you live in an area that is noted a lot for having these types of experiences. But I'm just curious about, so have you, you haven't yet maybe seen a Bigfoot, but you know that they're obviously probably surrounded, you've been surrounded potentially by them. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that's sort of my feeling at it. Like, and I've gone on active like squatch hunts
for
them, and we've done all the tricks, you know what I mean? And we've not seen anything. We've picked up stuff on like our spirit boxes. Like we picked up things we can't explain.
Yeah.
Voices.
Yeah.
And we've documented it on our show, We Want to Believe, a couple times. But yeah, I've not seen one, but I've been convinced when they've been around.
Oh,
like,
you
know, especially those experiences out at the lake, that they were like right there.
Yeah.
And I was like probably within, you know, 50 feet.
Have you ever heard the growl yet? Have you heard the growl yet?
No, I have not. I have not heard the growl yet. I'm kind of glad I haven't.
Yeah, I know. Like, but if you've heard the growl, I'm out of here, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's scary. Okay. So now you're now moving into even the more expanded life of having these experiences. It's obvious. At what point or at what age did you say to yourself, I think I'm a little bit more sensitive or different than most of my friends? What age do you think that really occurred at?
I'd say that would happen more into my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because remember, as a teenager,
yeah,
I was one of those people that like I just hated going to sleep.
Yeah.
And I'd have to turn the light on 19 times to make sure there was, because I could feel something in the room with me, but I couldn't. And I just thought it was anxiety. You know, as a kid, you're just like, I'm just anxious.
Yeah, I know.
Right? I'm just one of these anxious teenagers. Or I don't sleep. I've never slept. I still don't sleep well.
Yeah.
But looking back, it just kind of like, maybe I was just picking up on
stuff,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I kind of started half-ass dabbling, you know, into stuff as a teen, you know, my 20s, late 20s.
Yeah.
It wasn't really until I was in journalism school. Mm. I went back when I was 30, back to school. I needed to do something.
Yeah.
I went into journalism school, and I had a magazine writing class.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a whole semester to write one magazine article, which is amazing to have 4 months to write one article.
Yeah.
It's like,
I
was a journalist for 10 years. That's a miracle.
Yeah.
And I decided to write for the Fordian Times. I just, okay, fine. I'll write an article for the Fordian Times, because where I live, there's a place called Tronchial Sanitarium. That's a former tuberculosis clinic, insane asylum.
Yeah.
And it's shut in the '80s when they deinstitutionalized, and people have had stories. So I'm like, I'm going out there and I'm going to spend a night, because I knew the caretaker, and I'm going to get a team together and we're going to investigate it and document it.
Yeah.
And that became my first real serious stab at a paranormal investigation. So by then, way later in life, like we're talking, you know, going from like 13 to 30. So a good 17 year difference before I really like, I'm going to take a real look at this. And I had no idea what I was doing. You know what I mean? But I got myself, I found someone in the class who was skeptical. We knew someone who claimed to be psychic.
Yeah.
Another person who'd had an experience out there, and a friend of mine that was into TV journalism. So he brought audio and TV equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And we were let in at like 8 at night, and we stayed till like 4 in the morning, and we had full run of the property.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing really happened.
And nothing really happened.
Like, we had batteries that were fully charged die very quickly. So that was something.
That was good.
That was good. That was pretty good.
That's good.
And then Donna, who was the psychic, we went into a building. And I mean, the power is dodgy anyways.
Yeah.
The lights went out and she screamed. And when the lights kind of came back on, it looked like someone had pulled her toque up, because it was February. Yeah. And it kind of started settling down.
Those are the two things
that would really be anything, but nothing. I mean, we didn't know to record EVP, try to look for EVPs. We didn't, you know, so we just had those two things really.
Yeah.
Plus a bunch of jump scares that were nothing in the end, but just you're startled by just stuff, because you're prime. We were prime. We just couldn't wait for something to happen. So,
yeah. Well, the thing is I don't think I ever used any equipment. I just used my body. I mean, I'm so sensitive that usually, and it sounds like you're the same way, you can sense things probably better than rely on anything else anyway. If something is around or near you, our what is it, fight or flight within us just kind of goes, starts acting up or goes up, especially if you're a very sensitive individual. So, okay, so now you mentioned something that's got my curiosity up. So what was, that you can remember, the most frightening, other than being out at the cabin and getting that dread feeling of, I just got to get out of here. Have you ever come face to face with anything other than that thing that showed also in that vehicle, that when you were really young, in your older years, that frightened you? Anything? Can you think back to anything? Because something tells me you've probably been doing more dabbling in this, and you probably have had a number of experiences.
Oh yeah. I joined Vancouver Paranormal Society in 2017. Mm-hmm. That's where I met Peter Wren, who mm-hmm. we Want to Believe With and wrote the books. Mm-hmm. And I haven't had anything since then I'd call as scary.
Right.
We take a very scientific approach to everything. You know what I mean? We break things down. We're very skeptical. But about a year and a half after the, that first time at Tronchiel,
mm-hmm.
where we went out as a group of people, novices, not knowing what we were doing.
Yeah.
Donna and I went back out.
Mm-hmm.
Troy, who is the caretaker, was still there. And he just, sure, come on out. That's fine. And we went in the daytime this time.
Yep.
And just her and I, and we kind of wandered around and just kind of tried to get a feel for things and had nothing really much happen.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's Canada,
yeah,
and it can snow a lot in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Everything in Tronchiel, it's like a little city. So it's got like, you know, a civic office, a school, a laundry building. It's got the main hospital. It's got like barracks that became like, you know, patients' quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is connected by underground tunnels.
Okay.
Because if it snows a lot, you need to move food and patients. And that's just the easiest way to do that.
To do it.
Mm-hmm. So we figured we'd finish our day by exploring the tunnel system.
Okay.
There's no power.
Yeah.
There's no lights. There's no airflow even. Like it's just dead air and it's just very quiet.
Yeah.
So we're going through and we're kind of wandering with flashlights. Nothing much is happening. And we kind of came out in the basement of the laundry facility. And the doors there would be like, you know, double doors like you'd see in a hospital. Mm-hmm. But they're nothing. Like you could knock them open and they just kind of close on their own.
Yeah.
We come out in the bottom of the laundry building. And I was like, well, we should go. It's like 4 o'clock mm-hmm. kind of thing. And like, what do you want to do? And it's like, we can kind of go back through the tunnels the way we came, or we can go above ground. And we decided we'd go back through the tunnels. So at this point, maybe a minute and a half has passed.
Mm-hmm.
So I turn around, I grab the door that we just passed through. I got it open maybe halfway and something reefed back on that with enough force. I'm, like I said, 6'1". I hovered around 200 pounds then. I flew into that door off my feet, like slammed into it.
Mm-hmm.
Donna took off. Like she just ran, screamed and ran.
Oh, she left
and
you there.
I was not far behind her. I was not far behind her.
Yeah.
Because that's like, there was nothing there. Mm-hmm. It's not like there's a hydraulics on the door that would cause that. And it, like I said, 6'1", 200 pounds. It takes a lot to pull someone off their feet.
Yeah.
But something had enough force to do that to me.
Yeah.
And so I left, and it was like, that was the last time I looked at anything paranormal for years. Cause I was just like, nope, nope. That was just nope. You know, not going to happen at all.
When a person has a traumatic experience to the point where you realize how powerful some of this stuff can be, or how angry or how much energy and force they have. I had a similar, not a similar situation, but I was ghost hunting in a haunted bed and breakfast in Wales. And I had to be in the most haunted room. After all, I was right. It's in a chapter of my book now. And I'm going to tell you, as soon as that mirror started cycling around in the room and everything, I swore off ghost searching, hunting for 3 years, and said I even promised I would not dabble in it for a long, long time or ever again. Now I dabble, but I don't dabble in it anymore after I realize what you could walk yourself into. And by the way, I have been kicked up into the air, but I was talking to about a foot to 2 feet in the middle of the night, just outside of Yosemite National Park, and on a very clear moonlit night, very strong gamma rays and everything like that. And I wrote in my book that, well, this was an angry miner that didn't like someone who snored. So that's what my basis was for being kicked up in the air. It was its way of telling me to shut up. But when I was talking to another guest on the show, it led us into another theory, which of course I'll never be able to prove, which is maybe it wasn't that. I've been having extraterrestrial experiences in my life. And so he asked me if it was possible that instead of me being kicked up in the air, that I was actually being dropped from the air and back onto the bed. Yeah, I mean, I will never be able to prove it. I just know what I know what happened then. So my question to you goes back to that experience there. Did you say you were thrusted into that door or pushed with that force, or did the door just do it in front of you? I can't remember how you mentioned
it. I opened it. So I opened it like with it was like my right hand to right-handed. So I pulled it towards me. And it was like something on the other side grabbing it and pulling it that way.
And pulling it. Okay, there you go. That's what I was wondering. And all of a sudden you go kind of flying a little bit, right?
Yeah, like you I stumbled and I hit the door.
Yeah. Like there's something, exactly. Okay. That in and of itself is a little bit terrifying, because if you can't see what you're messing with there, you know, did you turn around at that point, go, holy crap, like you said, and then about faced, and the other one was already gone? She left
Donna was already half the quarters way up the stairs.
She left you lying there. She's like, you're on your own. I'm out of here now.
Basically, yeah. And I'm like, I don't blame you. Here I come. Like, I didn't even bother. Like, I'm like, I'm not, what was that? You know what I mean? Like, maybe nowadays I might be more inclined, but then I was just like, no. Like,
Have you ever figured out? Sometimes we can't figure it out, right? If you can't see it, you can't always figure it out. Have you ever figured out what that might have been?
I can only speculate, right? Because I mean, I've had stuff at other places, like things kind of roll off shelves, and I've had, for some reason, I get a lot of EVPs where things are swearing at me. They don't like me on the other side, I guess.
They don't like you. So
they must not like me. I don't know, but I think whatever it was, because that's, you got to think, it's a former sanitarium.
Yes,
a lot of bad things have been purported to happen. There's a lot of negativity, so something out there was mad.
Yes,
it got tired of us wandering around.
Yeah,
it's like, I'm gonna give them a fright and get them out of here.
Yep. Yeah,
it worked. We didn't go back. Like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Worked. Yeah, it's I was curious to see how bad it got for you, because I know that as somebody who has a curiosity, or had a stronger curiosity in the paranormal back in my younger days, okay, I've mellowed just a little bit. And now have you found, and I'm going to ask this generally, have you found that you don't necessarily need to have to go to anything anymore, that it just seems to come to you?
Oh yeah. Like, I mean, I've lived, the house we live in now has activity.
Oh, tell me.
I've had stuff happen off and on my whole life, I can pretty much safely say. Even after that experience, like, things still kept happening. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking to, I had my cousin's ex-wife, Samantha, spent time at a church for quite a while. And I talked to her about it, because she'd have these experiences too. Mm-hmm. And we're the only two people in the family that seemed to talk about it.
Yeah.
She said, well, come and meet the pastor and have a chat with him. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I don't know, okay, fine. Like, I'm not a particularly religious person, but at this point, like, you know, I'm okay. I'm looking for whatever kind of answers I can get.
Exactly.
It's just not stopping.
Yeah.
And so I went and like talked to him about it and all the things that had gone on. And I mentioned the door incident and what I'd seen as a kid. Mm-hmm. And he kind of, all he said to me is, well, Jason, you know, because I mean, religion takes things from a very certain slant that I don't quite follow exactly. But he said, it sounds to me like you have the potential in life to do a lot of good.
Yeah.
And it sounds to me like something is trying to scare you away from that.
Yeah.
That's all he had sort of said. And that was sort of my only real takeaway from that. And I kind of look at, you know, at that point I was a journalist. Like, I just really started my journalism career. I covered crime and politics, mostly crime.
Yeah.
You know, and told people's stories in hopes that, you know, same mistakes won't get repeated. Mm-hmm. You know, after journalism, I did sort of social work, employment counseling for a while.
Good.
I've always been someone that people come to with their problems, just wanting to hash out ideas. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, the work I do with the paranormal is I try to educate people that it's a very natural thing. It's always been around us. You don't have to be scared of it despite these experiences.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I kind of look at, I've kind of, my whole life's journey has been to kind of help people or educate people or tell their stories in some way.
Right.
And then now just to make people better understand the world around them. So in a way it kind of makes sense. And it makes sense if there is sort of good and evil in the world, that, you know, maybe evil doesn't want you to do that. or it wants to scare you into a normal life, or, you know, like a quote unquote normal life, you know?
Well, along that lines though, did you say that you currently or did live in a house that's very haunted?
I currently do. And I have in the past, like things seem to follow me.
Right. Wherever you go.
Or I pick up on what's there. You know what I mean?
And it comes home.
It's there all the time anyways. I think everywhere around us, there's all this stuff anyhow.
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree. Yeah. And so what kinds of things are happening in your home to indicate to you that something is still hanging about there?
Well, I've had several things, and other people who've come here have seen things. Even the we're the second owners of the house.
Mm-hmm.
The first owners, I got to know one of the sons quite well.
Mm-hmm.
And he always would say, like, downstairs, he'd feel like there'd sometimes be like an old man or a little girl.
Yeah.
Just around.
Yeah.
But, okay, fine. He mentioned that after I had stuff start to happen. I was kind of like, well, Dan, did anything ever happen at your house? Yeah. You know what I mean? Am I the only one that's experiencing? He says, no.
Mm-hmm.
From time to time, this would happen. And it's not consistent, but from time to time, things do. Like I've seen, mm-hmm. and Peter has seen, like a shape downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Just another shape hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Black shadow. Like, you know, just something that you can't quite
just
make
out. Figure.
Mm-hmm. Figure, no features really, just dark and shadowy. And I've seen like both like full grown and then like smaller, like that could mm-hmm. be a child or a pet or something.
Mm-hmm.
Peter's scene has been more adult size.
Mm-hmm.
Another friend of mine who would stay here, he'd house sit for us.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't stay in the downstairs bed, one of the downstairs bedrooms, not the one I'm in, which is my office, but another one.
Yeah.
And in that bedroom, there was one night my wife was sick.
Yeah.
So she was kind of snoring, like she had congestion. So I just couldn't sleep. So I'm like, I'll go downstairs. So I went downstairs into the bedroom and I kind of laid in bed.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but I focused on the closet and I just laid there staring at the closet. Like, is it the door was open? And I'm just like, what the hell? And then I heard a little girl's laugh, like,
oh my God.
I'm just gonna go back upstairs. I'm okay. You know, like,
oh my God. Really?
And it just, and I, most of the time I'm home, I'm downstairs. It's where I work.
Mm-hmm.
Do most of my work, you know, mm-hmm. our TV rooms down here,
mm-hmm.
so just stuff like that. Like electronics will sometimes just, my computer will just turn itself off sometimes.
Yeah.
Or back on.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
Like stuff like that.
Question to you about these types of things. So when, like, the little girl that giggled, or, you know, from the, by the way, they always, you know, this is by now, you know, this, they just love hanging out in closets and bathrooms, mm-hmm. and dark places and attics and all this sort of thing. And I've been there, done that. So if something were to giggle like that, if I were down there, I probably would get a little bit more freaked out, wondering what exactly I was dealing with. You know, sometimes people want to believe that it's a small girl. They, you know, these tricksters out there can really pull a whammy on people. People think, oh, it's a child, or oh, it's an older person. And so you start letting your guard down a little bit. Did you determine that this was a little girl or something of the lot more of a negative trickster kind of line?
Peter and I actually did a couple of investigations here, and we determined it was a little girl. Like that's, we picked up, it responded to us.
Mm-hmm.
We've also picked up a voice of what sounded like an old woman.
Okay.
That identified herself as Kath. And my grandma Hewlett's name was Kathleen.
Oh.
Which is interesting.
That's,
you know, we even have a couple pictures she painted in our house. So it's almost like, which is totally threw off the whole old man theory, but we believe that through our investigations that things aren't necessarily tied to one place like in Rome. And it doesn't mean that if Grandma Hewlett hasn't come before, she could show up this time because we're actively looking. You know what I mean? Like,
did you say she painted those pictures?
She painted the pictures. Yeah.
By hand. Yeah. Some people love their artwork. I mean, I know I'm an artist, but I mean, they love their artwork. And sometimes that in and of itself is a draw for some kind of a visitation or attachment. She might've just thought, oh, I just love these, you know, and then come for a visit, but not visiting very often. Right.
Just that was the first time I picked that up. Right. I've not been able to identify what I've felt in the house.
Yeah.
Just that there's something, but the little girl was one of the more profound.
Yeah.
The laugh, and then picking up on the spirit box, you know, the little girl voice answering questions.
Mm-hmm.
That's been interesting. But I mean, there's other times when there's stuff, and like I said, I'm not religious, but I've told you, you can't be here, you have to go.
Yeah.
I've said that because I can feel that oppressive sensation.
Yeah.
Starting, and I'm just like, no, my house, you're not welcome here. Leave. And it's left. You know,
yeah.
If you're firm quite often and just tell it to get out, it'll do that.
Yeah. Well, I tried. I had a poltergeist in my house for 2 weeks. This is the third house I've haunted. Actually, I don't take credit for this last haunting in this house. The kids before us purchasing this home, it was rumored that they played with the Ouija board in here and probably opened up a portal and they didn't know what they were doing. But when I was first week making changes in the house, making changes outside of the house, something locked me out, and it was not a good day because I couldn't get back into the house at all. And thank God I had a painter out there. But long story short, it took me 2 weeks. And what this poltergeist did in here was create havoc. Things are being thrown around, dodged against the wall. I had a wardrobe that was sealed shut from the humidity. You know, when it gets really humid, it gets stuck. And there's the only way you can do is put something in it and then pop it back out or pop the door open. That baby wasn't opening for 8 to 9 months. It was sealed shut. And I walked right past it and the door goes woof, flies right. Oh, yeah. But along the lines of what you said, I had enough. I mean, this was the third house. I went through two haunted houses the way it was. I wasn't going to go through another. We just moved here. And so bottom line was I said, get the bejeevies out of here. And I was mad. And so it took a while, but now it's calm. But except, well, once in a while, there's a shadow figure zipping across the floor. I've got a lot of orb activity in here. If you have a night vision camera at all, you'll see these sentient orbs flying around everywhere on their way to wherever. But they're not dust. They're not moisture. They are actual something, and they like to fly into me and fly out of me once in a while. But I would guess that, do you have any kind of night vision cameras in your house? With all the activity.
Not in the house. So yeah. We do have, Peter has equipment where we use thermal and night vision.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The team members do, right? So we're going to come back and do another one in an evening. Yeah. I don't like investigating here.
No.
When my wife and my 11-year-old son are around.
No, right. No. And the thing is that I stopped using a K2 and I stopped using my devices to try to make contact in my houses because I didn't realize that they almost act like a portal, or as bad as a Ouija board, bringing something in. If you don't know how to use them properly, you can actually create more havoc in your house. But yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. So, wow.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your feelings and your thoughts. We'll just go general here on, or just general topics here. And I'm going to shoot some topics out. And I want you to give me your ideas or your thoughts in a few sentences on each one. Let's start with, of course, UFOs and extraterrestrial visitations and or whatever. What are your thoughts or theories on that? Go ahead and lay it on me.
It's one of the ones I've investigated the least. Right? I've actually never seen a UFO. I'm very disappointed. I've never seen a UFO. I've never really had what I could describe as a visitation, but I know there's a lot of theories that you know, UFO, like visitations and near-death experiences and out of body can all be the same kind of thing. It's more of a spiritual experience than it is an actual physical experience like that.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to aliens, etc., I'm starting to lean a lot more towards multiverse theory than even outer space theory. You know what I mean? Like, it's just sort of seeming like these beings have maybe come from another possible timeline or place, and we're just interacting with them that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Leaning more towards that now.
All right. Mm-hmm. I've had a handprint show up on my body. It wasn't mine. It wasn't anything spiritual. It was definitely something of an outer worldy, and it lasted 3 hours. And to this day, I'll never know what it was. So I'm just...
And not having had that myself, you know, that myself, like I can only go by my own experience. But I know people who have had experiences who have said, yeah, no, it's physical and it's real and it's, I've had it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm one of those, I kind of need to experience it for myself before I can fully dive in.
Understand it. Of course.
Yeah.
Because actually 3 years ago, I went to a conference in Las Vegas and I was probably the biggest skeptic on the planet sitting there. And I got up and I was right in the speaker's face, literally on interrogation. And I said, how can you tell me what the difference is between having paranormal activity and having activity that you might be producing from yourself, okay? And after I told him some of the things that were happening to me, he just looked me right back in the face and said, how do you not know that you haven't been abducted and you just don't have any memory of it? And this is exactly what I hear from my clients every single day, the same stories you're telling me. And boy, he stuffed a sock in my mouth really fast, you know? And so the thing is that I did not really believe in that phenomenon at all, up until the point where all of a sudden my head kind of got twisted in a different direction. So that's why I was curious to see, because that ball of lightning that went past your cabin there, and you did see something. I mean, I can't tell you whether that's paranormal or whether that's any kind of an extraterrestrial kind of being or anything like that. I can't really tell you, but I do know one thing. It just doesn't seem, it's not something we see every day, right?
No, it's not, right? And it could have been ghost lights in the woods.
Correct.
Right? It's hard to say.
Correct. Now, I have not seen the ghost lights in the woods yet, but, you know, so there are things that I have not seen or experienced. I certainly don't want to experience Dogman, because if you experience Dogman, you're dead. So you might as well just say, okay, I'll listen to the howl, but stay away, you know. One thing that's kind of scary. I may have had a very indirect interaction with Mothman. What are your thoughts on Mothman?
I'm fascinated by Mothman. Like, I've read John Keel's Mothman Prophecies. I really like his theories on like ultra-terrestrials.
Yeah.
And but that's also kind of very multiversey kind of thing, right? The more I research, the more I'm just looking like that just explains so much, that there's these different parallel realities that just we interact with at certain times and places. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where I lean with Mothman as well. Like, it's just, I find it fascinating. I mean, people are seeing something, and when it's around, things happen.
Yeah, that's correct. It did happen. I was on the bridge the night before it collapsed, and it was supposedly seen. I was on the bridge by myself during rush hour. There was nobody on the bridge but me. And then somebody had reported seeing Mothman fly something like underneath it or at some point in time, and then the very next day it went boom, down it went. So I don't know, but yes, you're correct on that. It seems like they're always, that thing shows up at some point that something is going to happen. Interesting.
Yeah, it's a harbinger of a sort, right? And it's neat that it's not just being seen in Point Pleasant. Like, there's Chicago, like Michigan, it's showing up everywhere.
This is in Minnesota. So yeah, it does show up. I think it might have been in Pennsylvania once too. I'm not positive on that. Don't quote me on it, but I thought I wrote something about Pennsylvania and Mothman in my book on that. Tell me right now, what is the most interesting theory or that you're interested in right now? What seems to spark your attention right now?
It's definitely, especially having just written a book on near-death experiences, is sort of the whole multiverse concept, because it just seems to nicely tie into everything. Mm-hmm. And is a way to explain why we see UFOs, ghosts, you know, dogmen, Sasquatches, and why in a lot of places, like, you know, like with Skinwalker Ranch, like we're talking about before the show, why some places have all these phenomena.
Yeah.
Right. And I think there's a book called Beyond the Paranormal. Mm-hmm. Paul Dino's one of the writers, and he talks very much about that and how certain places the fabric is really thin. And you can hear the past or what could be the past or potentially another dimension in these places. And I just find that it's got me really excited about it, because it's also something that eventually that science is actually looking at.
Yeah. Too.
String theory, multiverse theory. And so I find that very exciting research, and it's a way that hopefully science will even help to get more involved in exploring the paranormal seriously.
Yeah. So you've written a couple books here. I want you to touch on a couple of the ones that you would like to promote, and we can promote more in the show notes, but that you've just written, and give us just a little bit of a flavor about each one.
So Dying Light, An Investigation into Near-Death Experiences, just came out in June.
Mm-hmm.
It's and it is literally that. Peter and I dig into near-death experiences, talking to everyone from experiencers who've had like way out experiences to sometimes very, very common, like, you know, just like could be a drowning experience. And that's all it was. Mm-hmm. To like grief counselors, neuroscientists, mm-hmm. physicists. We try to cover as many bases as past lives, reincarnation. We try to cover as many bases as we can in this book. And it was a really an eye-opening book to research and mm-hmm. interview and write. It was really, I had a really good time doing it. It was a hard thing to research and write. It's mm-hmm. death, which isn't always the most uplifting topic, but it was, we're very proud of the book.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I want everyone to get that book. So for those of you watching this, it's on Amazon, right?
Yes, it's all three books are on Amazon. Yeah.
Okay. And then what's another book that you're pretty proud of that you've written that kind of would be very educational or at least enlightening to people so they can kind of open up their minds a little bit more about our world?
That'd be book two, which is we've written two books under the I Want to Believe banner. And the second book is an investigator's archive. And it's just that Peter and I interviewed some 22 different investigators, documentarians, cryptozoologists, researchers, mm-hmm. told their stories. And everyone from, like, you know, like the more well-known people like Ken Gearhart, mm-hmm. Paul Bradford, you know, who's on Ghost Hunters International, Seth Breedlove of Small Town Monsters, mm-hmm. just investigators we've worked with, like Robert Bradley and Louise Setchell, who have just had interesting experiences of their own and insights. And it's 22 different takes on what this could be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was very enlightening to write as well.
That's also on Amazon too, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I would like you to tell everybody, very interesting conversation with you today. Sorry about the interrogation, but
that's okay. No, that's great, Kelly. I appreciate it. But it's good to have, because that's what we as investigators do, that you have to ask hard
it's built in
questions, right?
It's built into my fiber. I naturally start putting pictures together in my head, and I actually can, I'm a visionary. And I'm a very strong empath, intuitive, sensitive, and telepathic too. And so all of a sudden, when people talk, sometimes I can just kind of see the situation forming in front of me. And then all of a sudden, I just want to fill in some details. And so that's the investigator part in me there. So, but thanks for being a good sport. But I want I want everybody to tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, and tell them a little bit about your shows and how they can get a hold of you. And I'll make sure that we get all of this in the show notes at the end of the show.
For sure. Like I'm the writer, director, investigator, co-creator of We Want to Believe, which is a paranormal reality show on YouTube, which is featured on the Paranormal Network, which is a channel I am the manager of. And that includes other shows that Peter and I do, like Hunting the Haunted. Mm-hmm. I narrate the UFO show. We have a show called UFO Incidents, which is all about the big UFO incidents. Mm-hmm. We cover everything from haunted objects. We have video podcasts, and that's all on the Paranormal Network on YouTube. And you can find it on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
As well as We Want to Believe has its own Facebook and Instagram presence.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me on Facebook, Jason Hewlett. The picture is very similar to the one in the background right now that Kelly has. And I'm also on Instagram at jhewlett72.
Okay, great. And I'll make sure that this all gets on there. So if anyone wants to, actually, I would like to encourage everybody to go onto Amazon and purchase his books. I think
that's of course, the books just, on Amazon.
I'm sure they're, and I haven't seen them yet because, too many guests on my shows equals I wouldn't be able to read the books in enough time, but they sound very interesting and very intriguing, especially that one on Dying Light. That one I've got, that one is kind of sitting in my head right now. So, I'll have to go check that one out. And again, I hope that someday you and I will meet in person and that you'll come back on this show when you get into your next. Did you say you're writing another book?
Yeah, we have to have a fourth book done by the end of the year for Beyond the Fray Publishing. So, and it's all about residential hauntings. Peter and I are getting to work on that the tail end of summer.
How interesting could that book possibly be? I love that stuff. So again, chop chop there, Jason. Get it done. All right.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be standing there on that one for sure, you know. But thank you so very much for being on the show today. And again, I hope in the future you'll come back and see us.
I would love to. That'd be great, Kelly.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Dr. Schutz welcomes your emails and paranormal stories. Visit her website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com for contact information, or go to amazon.com to view her books, searching under Paranormal Encounters. Thanks for listening. Take care, and until next time.
Be careful what you wish for.
The script, vocal talent, and music compositions in this podcast program are copyrighted. As a disclaimer, this podcast episode or parts thereof may not be reproduced, reposted, or transmitted in any form without the express permission from the producer and company, Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, or Para-X Radio Network. Any opinion or claim made in any podcast episode by the host or guest does not necessarily represent the viewpoints of Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, Para-X Radio Network, or its sponsors. Properties mentioned in any podcast are publicly known to be haunted or have been discovered to have unexplained occurrences. If you are a ghost seeker, please take precautions and respect people's properties by not trespassing.